welcomed a parent's perspective. "Well," Marcia said to her boys after they toured their new house, "which rooms would you like for your bedrooms?"
"I'll take the attic," said 14-year-old Lou. "I'll have space for my electronic keyboard, my stereo, and my guitar."
"Mine will be next to the bathroom," replied 11-year-old Evan.
"It has cool built-in drawers, but we have to get rid of that archway."
"I like the corner one," chimed in 6-year-old Jason. "It has a sink."
"Okay, guys," Marcia smiled. "Why don't we take a look at the paint book and you can choose some colors?"
"All right,"
Evan pumped his hand in the air.
"I want orange."
Jason, the proud owner of two enormous goldfish, pointed to a soft shade of aqua.
"Can I have that?" he asked.
Lou just shrugged.
"Doesn't matter to me. I'm just going to put my posters up anyway. And I'd sort of like to write some cool quotes on the walls, okay?"
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about setting up child-friendly rooms in our homes? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has a simple guiding philosophy. Parents shouldn't have to work at keeping their homes stylish and comfortable. Debbie Weiner is a professional interior designer who specializes in real-life, family-friendly design and works for the D.C. area firm Designing Solutions. Although she's been practicing her craft for more than 13 years, she admits that everything she now knows about smart interior design she learned from her own family, who are self-admitting slobs. She lives in Silver Spring, Maryland, with her cleaning-impaired husband and their two sons, a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Debbie.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
What would you say is the biggest myth about child-friendly rooms?
Well, certainly when it comes to decorating a child's room, the biggest myth is that it's for the child. Actually, it's for the parents. Most kids, until they hit maybe 8, 9, or 10 years of age, the only time they're in their room is to take a nap or to go to sleep. Otherwise, they prefer to be where everyone else is, usually the kitchen, the family room, or in my case, the laundry room.
Does that mean that everyone helps doing the laundry?
Unfortunately, no, but I get a lot of bystanders.
Debbie, what about the rest of the house?
The rest of the house, I think it is so important that you anticipate. Are there going to be baseball cleats coming through your front door in spring? Is there a shedding dog in your future or even now in the house? Do you see your kids being home alone and grabbing pizza and juice boxes and eating on the sofa when you're not there, screaming at them to go to the kitchen? If you know these things are in your future, plan for it and try and choose upholstery fabrics, flooring, even curtains that are indestructible, can be cleaned up easily, aren't likely to be ruined or torn apart, and can easily be replaced on a moment's notice if and when those kids ever move out of the house and you're tired of looking at some of the mud tracked in permanently to your carpet.
How did you come to know this so well?
This is where my family's training has helped me. Really, it came about because when I first set out to furnish my own home, I did it like every designer. Only the most beautiful things I could possibly afford went into my home without any thought whatsoever about whether the material was cleanable, what would happen if my white sofa got stained, could the paint finish on my kitchen table come off with a little bit of scrubbing from my kids running their cars and baseball figures on top. The answer is yes. Everything I put into my own home got ruined. I married a slob. We had two boys, they've grown to be slobs, and I've watched my own home get destroyed over the years. And as I came to refinish it and refurnish it and redecorate it, I did so with the thought that there's got to be a better way. There have to be things out there that not only look good and add comfort and value, but last and are stain-free and are relatively low in maintenance and don't require a policeman standing at the door telling everyone who comes in, take off your shoes, get that juice box out, don't put that hot plate on top of that sofa. And from peace of mind and the need to be able to entertain and have my kids use the home without my constant supervision, I did come up with a better way. And I decided to share that with clients and help them design homes that their own family can really use. I mean, it's a novel idea. Sit in the family room, dine in the dining room. Yes, you can do it. If what you're really going for are soft fern greens and sea blues and pale yellows and creamy whites, do you have to forego that preference for color just to have a family-friendly home? In some instances, yes. But in many ways, no. You can still have a white sofa if it's an ultra suede, which is absolutely the best thing out there. The stuff is really cleanable and washable. And if a client says, I really visualized my family room with some cream and white upholstery, I know we're going to be choosing something in ultra suede. And another great fabric, Sunbrella. You know, it's the stuff made for outdoor seating. Well, it's not just that hard outdoor striped fabric that we think of when we see an umbrella out on a patio. It comes in soft chenilles, comes in patterns and textures, quilted and linen-like, and they're also perfect for upholstery in an active household because they resist stains, moisture, mildew. Heck, you could take a bottle of chlorine bleach, pour it on Sunbrella, and nothing would happen.
That's amazing.
So say to yourself, when that cherry-flavored popsicle gets left on the sofa and melts, same thing. Wash it right off.
This is terrific. What a shame this didn't happen when we had little kids growing up.
I don't think we gave a lot of thought to how will things wear? What kind of peace of mind will I have? And perhaps because our mothers might have been home more, they were monitoring. Did we take off our shoes? Did we finish eating in the kitchen? Did we keep flying footballs out of the family room? Nowadays, we're all busy. We're all working. We're running our kids to soccer and football, piano lessons and after-school activities. Nobody has the time to take care of their homes, to fluff pillows, to primp curtains, to straighten lampshades the way perhaps our mothers did. And not only that, if you had the time, why would you want to spend it doing that?
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on child-friendly rooms.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, the Popular Photos Guide by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with interior designer Debbie Weiner about child-friendly rooms. What have you found when you consult with families is your greatest challenge?
My greatest challenge often is teaching the clients, who are the parents in the house, that you can design a stylish, comfortable family room, dining room, kitchen, master bedroom, whatever it is. You can keep the style, add the comfort, and still let it be family friendly. In other words, still let your family use it. I am trying to teach clients you do not need to keep a plastic tablecloth on the new kitchen table. If you have a water glass or some plates on it and remove it somewhat within 30 to 40 minutes after dinner, nothing will happen to that tabletop. If you do walk through the house with baseball cleats full of mud, if you've got the right stain on the floor and you've got the right colorful patterned carpets, any clump of mud will vacuum out. And if it does leave a spot, you won't notice it if the rug is chosen carefully. I'm trying to help parents decorate in ways that won't prohibit them from using the rooms. You spend a lot of money buying new furniture, having draperies made, painting, adding lighting. It seems a pity that the room should be cordoned off until guests visit your home and, like at a museum, buy a ticket to enter. For me, a better value and a better way of life in your home is to make sure every room is compatible with your family so that you're all using it and enjoying it.
I sometimes think that maybe Oriental rugs were designed by people who had large families. You can drop anything you would never notice.
And contemporary rugs, too. I mean, the rugs that I show my clients are primarily in wool because wool, with its high concentration of lanolin, is actually very strong and resilient, and most liquid stains stay on top of the fiber until you're able to blot it and get it out. But nevertheless, once you've chosen a high-quality fiber, keep it colorful and well-patterned. If spaghetti sauce goes flying, who'd notice it? You'd think it's just part of the rug, and that's the goal, to try and anticipate what's coming, decorate for it, and then forget about it.
Do you ever seek input from children when you're consulting with families?
Yes, all the time, especially if I'm doing the child's room. I think it is so important to empower our kids to have a say in all things about decorating their room, because that'll make them want to be in it. And after all, that's the goal, to give them a room they'll enjoy being in and they'll enjoy using. Sometimes the problem is that the child wants a black room or a purple and neon yellow room. And my job then is to kind of mediate between the parent and the child. How do we add the black or the purple or the neon colors in a way that the parents can live with? And there are many great ways to do that. For example, I add an accent wall in the child's favorite color, but the other three are kept neutral, a bit more pleasing to mom. Or we do the bedding in black or a throw rug in black, but try and keep the other walls, again, kind of more what mom was thinking. But it's really important to involve the child and to make sure when they walk through that door, they see something of meaning to them. Another thing I really encourage parents to consider is taking a whole wall and putting a base coat of magnetic paint on it, or perhaps buying an industrial roll of cork and upholstering a whole wall. I think it's great when kids can hang their own posters. In my family, it's usually football and baseball, but my kids are fickle. One year they love the Yankees, another year they love the Nationals. I don't have to go in there and peel old Scotch tape off my walls. My kids, with magnets and pushpins and corkboard, can decorate and redecorate on a whim. And every child can do that as well if you plan for it and give them the tools.
And the tools are right out there and available, of course.
Yeah, and you know what? They really make it convenient. I mean, instead of peeling paint and ripped posters, there you have magnets, and you can get those great big push pins at CVS that are probably an inch long and an inch wide and feel really comfortable, that they're not going to fall in the bed or fall into the carpet and then hurt you when you walk barefoot. And I was telling someone else about magnets for those magnetic walls when my kids were younger, and we would travel to New York to see the grandparents or to New England. Every rest stop, we would buy those magnets. I can't tell you how many New Jersey Turnpike magnets are on my kids' walls. But it makes a nice souvenir from every little road trip, and they're useful. They're using them to hang their baseball and football posters.
When one of my kids was young, I asked his opinion about what he'd like to do with his room. He was the third son. He got the smallest bedroom when he came along. And he had been to see a real submarine. He wanted his room to look like the inside of a submarine. I wasn't hiring someone. I wasn't paying to have anything custom done. So he gave us a whole big, long description about what he'd like, and everything would come down and fold back into the wall, and there would be ropes, and there would be this, and there would be that. And he ended up with a bunk bed.
Close enough. They do have bunk beds.
He got a loft bed with a desk under it or something. It didn't look like a submarine. But by that time, he was already off and into other kinds of things. We had to have a space for the rabbit cage and things like that. So,
and the tarantula.
And the tarantula and a few other lovely, interesting
things. You
were
a brave mom.
Sometimes you have to be, right?
I draw the line at spiders and snakes.
One of my sons was very interested in space when he was young. And so his room, when he decided it was time to, quote unquote, decorate it, featured a very large mural that went over, I think, two walls that he had done himself, of a comet and planets, and it was quite colorful. And the problem was that he did it about maybe a year or so before then we had to move. And it was, I took pictures because I was heartbroken that we had to whitewash the walls. But it was very interesting, that same son, then when we moved into another house and he was a teenager, the way he decorated that room was basically he wrote on the walls and on the backs of furniture, because at that point he was into English literature and great thoughts. And so he had quotes everywhere. And it turned out that when he had to leave that room, he had to whitewash the walls because his younger brother was not going to be interested in that at all.
But Sandy, you raise a very good point about decorating kids' spaces, and for that matter, any space in your home. Paint is the easiest and most economical decorating tool in our arsenal. So if you have a child with an interest that is likely to change, today it's pink hippopotamus and tomorrow it's, you know, something totally different. Christina Aguilera, I remember seeing in one client's kids' room. Paint is a great tool to use to help your child express themselves, knowing full well it might get whitewashed or changed out in a couple of years. But when it comes to the other fundamentals in the room, like Linda's bunk bed desk combination, those are areas where perhaps you give the child a little less input because it has to be functional and it has to grow with your child. So I think those are places where we're looking for not only what Jake or Maggie wants today, but the child Jake and Maggie will grow into, the student in high school who will have a laptop, tons of books, a printer, a collection of trophies, and anticipate that these things are coming. So when we decorate a space today, we've left room to grow.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on child-friendly rooms.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, the popular Photers Guide by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with interior designer Debbie Weiner about child-friendly rooms. So you've begun this issue about how rooms need to grow. In fact, that's how we got my son's loft bed. Someone had a son who had outgrown this bed. The kid was 6'1 or 6'2, and they had advertised this bed, and we got it. My son was little at the time that he got it, and he never did outgrow it. But you did raise the issue of creating a room that can grow with children. What other kinds of suggestions do you have for that?
As I see it, basically there are two rooms in every child's life. There's the room the parent wants, and this kind of covers you from infancy through toddlerhood. All those Disney-esque decorations, the pom-poms, the bows, the colorful crib bedding, the shelves full of stuffed animals, they're all for mom and dad. Let's face it, an infant is completely focused on sleeping, nursing, getting a diaper change. Everything else in the room is for mom and dad. And even through toddlerhood, the truth is most kids will be where the parents are and not spend a great deal of time in their room. So when it comes to moving from infancy into a bed and thinking about getting your child ready for school, that's the time to think of room number two, the one that will stay with your child until, God willing, they go to college. Here we need to find pieces that will not only work for a small child, but for the larger teenager they're going to become. So I always focus on a few key fundamentals that will work today and work tomorrow. And number one is the lighting. I'm a big believer in figuring out where you might organize furniture today and tomorrow. Where would we put a desk? Where might we put a bureau? Where are we going to put some bookshelves? And quickly sketch out, regardless of how rudimentary it is, a little diagram of how you're going to furnish the room, and then locate some recess lighting or wall sconces where you need that light. Definitely over a workspace, illuminating some bookshelves, some light near a bureau so that when you open drawers, you can actually see what's inside. I always recommend to my clients two light switches, one at the door and one by the bed, because after a few years, I got so tired of hearing, "Mom, Mom, you go running. What is it?" They want you to turn out the light. They're done reading and they're too lazy to get up out of bed and turn it off for themselves. So empower your child to be able to turn lights on and off right from their bedside. And even better, if you have a child that needs a little light at night, you can put it on a dimmer so they can dim the lights up and down by their bedside so they have a little more security and comfort at night. And once you've gotten the lighting out of the way and you've done your room diagram and you know where furniture is going, focus on that furniture. Just because your child isn't doing homework in their room now doesn't mean they won't have a need to lay out 5 books, a laptop, a printer, and all the other paraphernalia that comes with high school homework. So buy furniture that will accommodate all that stuff that's coming and give your kid lots of space to lay out their things. Make sure you have bookshelves. It's even possible there could be a book in the bookshelf, but for now it could be toys, stuffed animals, even trophies from their first soccer season. I think everyone gets one in those first few seasons. Storage, even the smallest room can accommodate all those clothing changes that are coming. I'm a big believer in hiring or purchasing professional closet organizers. The best thing about it is now at an early age with young children in your home, you can adjust those rods to their height. As they grow, you can move those rods up, even double them, to maximize clothing storage. I love that you can move the shelves around for little onesies now that grow into big, bulky high school sweatshirts later. So investing in good closet storage that's flexible and grows with your child is a very worthwhile investment.
Debbie, are there different issues for infants and toddlers?
I think when it comes to infants and toddlers, the number one concern is safety in the room. My focus on an infant toddler's room would be basic safety to make sure, for example, if there are low bookshelves, that they're secured to the wall. It can't be pulled over. If there's a toy storage chest, it has a safety hinge so it can't drop on little fingers.
Debbie, there's been a lot of good ideas here, obviously. I'm sure parents are thinking, why didn't I think of that? What a great idea. Are there any things that we can keep in mind, especially if we're on a budget? You know, things are very costly these days. Are there any things that would be helpful to know that are not too expensive that we can do?
Yes, there are a lot of great values out there when it comes to furnishing your child's room in particular. Forgo the expensive bedding. Just get a fun-looking comforter and use solid sheets underneath that you can buy pretty inexpensively. And best of all, they get ruined, you toss them. It wasn't a big investment in custom bedding. I have recycled kitchen tables into desks that it's easy to paint on a weekend in the garage and gives a child ample workspace. I think you can get pretty creative when it comes to storage shelves in a room and bookshelves. We've used pot racks. We've used shelves that we've recycled from bathrooms and then repainted. You can even use, just some 2x4s with brackets. Paint it, decorate it, put all the great stuff that your kid has collected on it, and who notices what the shelf is made out of anymore? You're really focused on the things the child has brought into the room. The one place I think you shouldn't skimp is the desk chair. If you really have hopes that your child will grow into a budding high schooler who will sit at the desk for hours and do those great term papers and all that calculus, give them a great chair to sit at the desk and reduce back strain. Let it have casters so they can roll easily from one side of the room to the other to grab a book. And buy an inexpensive, flexible neck desk lamp, $17.99, and there's the great light your child needs to reduce eye strain for those late nights of homework. So definitely spend on the desk chair. And think of ways to recycle things you already have at home to give your child great workspace and good bookshelf storage. And again, you can do it yourself in the closet or you can hire an inexpensive closet company, but something that's flexible in your closet will definitely give you flexible storage over time.
What kinds of resources would you suggest for families who might want to look further into some of the issues we've raised?
Well, certainly we have a great website at www.mydesigningsolutions.com. We have a lot of articles we've written on designing family-friendly homes and designing rooms that grow with your child. And all those articles are easily accessed on our website, www.mydesigningsolutions.com. In addition, we offer this great designing dilemma service where individuals who visit our website can send us their own designing dilemma, and we'll give them back a useful designing solution that they can apply to their own home. And we actually publish those designing dilemmas and solutions once a month in the Maryland Gazette newspapers.
Well, Debbie Weiner, you have been a big help to all of us who need to know more about making family-friendly children's rooms and family-friendly rooms for the house. And so thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. And as I always like to say to my own family, remember, when you get home today, wipe your feet.
Okay. A great ad for AstroTurf. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. Again, it's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. Mention show number 302, and if you can, tell us what station you're listening to. Since we air all over the world, it's always fun to know where you're tuning in. Our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is available in all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. At the site, you can even hear a show at any time. Just scroll down to the topic or guest of your choice and click onto the words Listen to Podcast below. This is Sandy Bird and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.